Once upon a time, I overheard someone say that cooking or baking could be a spiritual practice. Thank you. At the moment, that statement didn't resonate with me. I asked myself how that could be, because for me, at that time, cooking, that was a tedious task. Even when I was a teenager and a young adult, I wanted nothing to do with cooking. Kitchen work? Nope. Not cooking for me, no way. When my mom, who at the time owned a restaurant, wanted to teach me, I would disappear. When one of my favorite aunts tried to teach me how to cook rice, no matter how many times she showed me, I just didn't get it. I would always burn the rice, and she finally gave up. And now, you who know me and my cooking skills will wonder what changed. Well, I tell you, even though I complete a college culinary program in my early 20s, I must confess that was the last resort. The professional programs I really wanted at that time in high school, after I finished high school, were folklore dancing or airline pilot. But these were denied to me because I was too short. So reluctantly, I found myself learning how to prepare gourmet meals as a professional chef, even though I'm not professional. However, despite my lack of interest in cooking at young age, I did learn at home the value of celebrating events where food took center stage. Whether sharing a family meal or participating in lunches in Teusaquillo Mennonite Church in Bogota, I always had the sense that something special was happening when we sat down to eat together. Oh boy, I have this upside down. When I immigrated to Canada 34 years ago, I had no idea that it would be starting a new journey in my understanding of cooking. Tim's family, my Thompson community, and my friends have shown me a whole new dimension of sharing meals around the table. They have taught me that cooking with gusto was not enough. They showed me that the meal itself transformed those who gathered around the table, making it a sacred act of fellowship, warmth, and deep connection. The table became, for me, an intimate sanctuary where we open our hearts and share our lives, embracing joy, holding a space for sadness, and celebrating everything in between. For me, these moments of vulnerable sharing had become spaces of profound learning. I am not only discovering the deep and character of the peoples gathering around me, but I'm also absorbing their life stories and keeping their wisdom close to my heart. This helps shape who I am as an individual, both in my everyday life and in my spiritual journey as a child of God. I have also realized that what is required of me, we gather to share a meal around the table, is the willingness and awareness to keep the door of my heart open, while allowing myself to truly enjoy the life journeys of those with whom I share the meal. Tina and I have sought to experience this dimension of the table with our family, with our friends, and in the Tamsi here and the Tamsi community. We have experienced it at potlucks where all sit together like one big family, at the meals that the New Life Church lovingly prepares for fundraisings, and for me, guess what? Tom's most exciting event of the year. Guess who's coming to dinner? Whether neither the host nor the guests know where or with whom they are going to be dining. Whatever the occasion, there are moments when the table becomes a place of welcome and grace-filled connections, of joy and reconciliation, of peace, the peace table. As I journey through these cooking and dining experiences, I have also been learning the value of hosting. I have to come to understand the importance of every detail in creating a meaningful experience. Despite what I learned in culinary school, being a host is not about following a rigid set of rules. It's about making everyone feel welcome, comfortable, and valued. A host's foundational role is to infuse the occasion with hospitality and generosity. And on the flip side, the guests arrive willing to embrace the celebration with joy and enthusiasm. I treasure all these meaningful and deep experiences. However, as I reflect on them, I begin to wonder about spiritual food. The question that comes to mind is, how does our human experience of growing or buying, preparing and cooking, hosting and eating food around the table relate to our spiritual lives? So what comes to mind is Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, "Look, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking. If any hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to be with them, and we'll have dinner with them, and they will have dinner with me. This verse contains such a powerful image, the knocking, the opening, the door, and the sharing a meal. At the same time, it shows us the profound importance of food, with physical food both physically and spirituality. I would like to explore this verse without going into the history context of this apocalyptic book, as some preachers do. Instead, I want to stay with the image of the invitation itself, the door, the knock, the response, and ultimately the meal. For me, Revelation 3:20 is the consummation of Jesus' invitations, not only to each individual, but also to us as a Tonsi community, to sit at the table and dine with him. As the gospel tells us, Jesus did not only teach, offer forgiveness and redemption in synagogues and along the roads. He did so most significantly at the table as well. The meals Jesus shared were not superficial gatherings, but moments charged with profound theological symbolism, revealing the heart of the kingdom of God, an open, inclusive reign where everyone has a place. Jesus' fellowship was characterized by inclusivity, not exclusivity. His meals were invitation to grace, not gatherings to reinforce barriers, but rather open spaces of communion. For him, the table is a place of profound encounter. In Revelation 3:20, we read that Jesus is also clear in his invitation. He is not going to impose himself on us and dine with us uninvited. Although Jesus frequently dined with all kinds of people at times and announces his presence, where we see some, here we see something different, where Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He waits for the door to be opened. I'm standing at the door and knocking. I wonder, what does the door symbolize? I find meaning in the traditional image of the door representing the human heart. And I also wonder, why does Jesus knock before entering a place and announcing who he is? The verse doesn't say what he said. I imagine it was something like, "This is Jesus. I have come to spend more time with you, with this community. Perhaps you could dine, we can dine together." We know that knocking is a polite way to ask for entry, to announce your arrival or get the attention of people inside of a building or a room. It serves as a social signal to show respect for privacy before entering a private space. But we don't usually announce who is knocking. Jesus does. Then, in the second half of the verse, there is a pivotal moment, a call to exercise our agency and answer the knock. "If any hear my voice and open the door." At this juncture, we are each invited to hear Jesus. Jesus' knock and the gentle announcement of his presence. We must then decide whether to unlatch the door of our hearts to welcome Jesus into our most intimate spaces, to have a relationship around the table and have a sacred encounter with him. Or we remain behind the door that is firmly barred. Hans Schaffler, and I like to have them. In the Anabaptist Bible, there is a commentary about Hans Schaffler that he did. Hans Schaffler, a 16th century Anabaptist thinker and leader who was martyred for his faith in 1528, reflected on this passage saying, "I admonish you, indeed, all at those whose heart's door the Lord stands and knocks with longing, to open the door to him and to sup with him. For certainly the great supper is near at hand. So open the door while he stands and knocks, for he might tire and leave. And then when you open, he is not longer there." Schaffler's understanding of Revelation 3:20 was defined by apocalyptic urgency and mysticism. For him, Christ's knocking was not a timeless, open-ended invitation. I am struck by his warning that Christ will not knock forever. He cautioned that if a person hesitates or ignores the call, Christ might get tired and leave. Schaffler's review through faith as an intense internal transformation. To sup with Christ means to experience an inward spiritual communion that alters how a person lives. Schaffler's belief that answering Jesus' knocking and opening the door required a willingness to suffer for the truth. The Anabaptists called this willingness to suffer glasenhai, meaning yieldings or surrender. Perhaps you remember our Pastor Peter's sermon exploring glasenhai a couple years ago. For Hans Schaffler, glasenhai was not just a passive feeling of peacefulness or calmness as is used today in the modern German. It was a radical, costly, and active submission to God through Christ. As his temporary Anabaptist mystic Hans Denk said, "No one might know Christ truly unless they follow him daily in life. I feel conflicted about Shepherd's perspective of Jesus getting tired of knocking at the door and leaving. But I do agree with him that stop with crisis means to experience an inward communion. I also concur that opening the door to Jesus requires willingness, trust, and commitment to Klassenheit, to surrender completely to God, to empty ourselves, and to let Christ rule within us. Returning to today's passage of the book of Revelation, in the last line, Jesus said, "I will come. I will come in to be with them, and I will have dinner with them, and they will have dinner with me." To my heart, this feels like a sacred place. I envision the gathering where Jesus sat to eat, echoing the gospel stories of communion rooted in radical inclusivity. This is not mere private invitation. It is a resonant call reaching out to every person in our community. His table stands as a sanctuary of welcome, providing a holy ground where he desires a deep and transformative encounter with each of us. And this brings me back to the table where we sat with Jesus. How do we dine around the table with the divine? While I have been refining my culinary techniques and discovering the art of hosting, I have also explored spiritual tools that nourish the inner life. Practices like sentry prayer, Lectio Divina, Audio Divina, have become part of my journey. I found myself returning to the simple, profound command of Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." I am also drawn to the invitation in Matthew 6:6, where we are encouraged to retreat into our inner room, which I understand as the sanctuary of the heart, to close the door and commune with the Mother Father in secret. These contemplative rhythms cause me to cease my striving, to release my anxieties, and to trust that the Spirit will create a holy atmosphere within me. In that stillness and intentional presence, we foster a sacred intimacy with the divine. By opening the doors of our hearts to eternal love through silence and contemplation, we are truly providing the necessary sustenance for our souls. Jesus asked us to invite him to our table. But we must open the door, surrender ourselves, embrace Klassenheit, and welcome him fully into our lives. Jesus also reminds us with his invitations that we are not meant to rely on our own limited energy, but rather to find our home in him, staying rooted in his presence and return in. Stay rooted in his presence and return. And in return, he will love us. He nourishes us. He heals us. And he sups with us every day. I would like to invite you to a short meditation. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes and put your hand on your heart. Take a deep breath in And as you breathe in, noticing any distraction or tension in your body, mind, or spirit. As you breathe out, let all that distraction or tension go. With the next breath in and out, allow your mind, your heart, and spirit to open to what is to come and just listen. Be silent. Be still. Presence. Door. Knock. Listen. Choice. Aloud. Trust. Promise. Empty before you, God. Say nothing. Ask nothing. Be silent. Be still. Sacred. Intimacy. Divine. Let your God look upon you. That is all. God knows. God understands. God loves you with an enormous love and only wants you to look upon you with that love. Quiet. Still. Be. Let Jesus and your God sup with you every day. Quiet, still, be, nourish, heal, peace, joy, enjoy. One more time, take a deep breath in. And let it out. Amen.